Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Think for a moment about some of the rituals that are important in your life. Perhaps you have a morning ritual that helps you to get started with your day. For years, my husband got up first and made espresso drinks for myself and for himself. I try to remember to thank him every day, to never take it for granted. And sometimes I would say, you know, you don't have to do that. But he said that taking those minutes alone in the kitchen, alone is key in our house, in the kitchen, being quiet, making coffee was a good start to his day, a morning ritual. Perhaps you have rituals in your family for celebrating a birthday, or rituals for beginning a new school year with a new backpack and supplies and obligatory photos. Thanksgiving is a ritual on a large scale, when thousands of people across the country gather around turkey and then football. For many of us, Christmas time is filled with rituals around trees, wreaths, cookies, decorations, candles, and songs. Rituals are practices which help us remember who we are and what our lives mean. They may strengthen family relationships, nurture faith, or help us prepare for a new day, week, or year. They mark important milestones and make meaning of the passing of time. I hope that when you think about important rituals in your life, worship and Holy Communion come to mind. These are rituals that remind us that we are beloved of God and that we are followers of Jesus. They remind us that we are part of a community of faith, a community where we learn and grow together, supporting one another in the life of faith. They remind us that we are part of a story bigger than ourselves or even our individual communities of faith. We are part of the story of God and God's people, which has been told and retold for centuries and has shaped the lives of God's people around the world. The story told in the book of Exodus picks up where the story of Joseph and his brothers left off last week. If you remember, Joseph's family, the Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, Joseph and all his brothers and all their households, had come to Egypt to survive a famine, and they stayed there. They were given land, and for centuries they prospered there in Egypt, side by side with the Egyptians. But then a new Pharaoh arose in Egypt, and he was frightened by the growth and prosperity of the Hebrew community, and so he made them slaves of the Egyptians. Still, the Hebrew community grew, and Pharaoh still felt threatened. And so he gave new orders that all Hebrew baby boys would be thrown into the river to be killed. And the Hebrew people cried out, and God heard their cries. One Hebrew baby boy was rescued by the ingenuity of his mother and sister and the compassion of an Egyptian princess, and he was raised as an Egyptian. You probably know this story, the story of Moses. It's a favorite both in Sunday school and in Hollywood. Moses grows up in an Egyptian household, and when he's grown, he kills an overseer who is abusing a Hebrew worker, and he has to flee. He finds himself with a family of herders, and he marries and becomes a herder until he is called by God through a burning bush and given the job of going back to Egypt to free the Hebrew people from slavery. Moses takes God's ultimatum to Pharaoh, "Set my people free." But Pharaoh will not listen, even when God sends plague upon plague to Egypt. And so we come to the last plague and the events of Passover. The story was written centuries after the event took place, and the piece that we read today is a strange mix of telling the story and also giving the people a ritual to remember the story. And so each family is to slaughter a firstborn calf or goat, to roast it and eat the whole thing, lamb or goat, I'm sorry, and to eat the whole thing. And families can join together so that each one has enough and no one has too much. They are to eat standing up, ready to flee when the time comes. Before they eat, they are to mark their doorways with the blood of the lamb, so that when God comes to kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians, God will pass over their homes and they will be safe. It's a terrible story in many ways, a terrible and fearful picture of God wreaking vengeance on a Pharaoh who would kill and torment God's people for his own gain. In this event, Pharaoh reaps what he has sown. For it is Pharaoh who first chose violence when he killed the baby boys and tormented the Hebrew slaves. It is also one of those places in the Bible when we see not life as an ideal, but life as it really is. It is still the case today that when leaders choose war and violence over peace, it is the people who live under their rule who suffer most. Often the poor and disadvantaged most of all. In this story, all the people of Egypt suffer for the pig-headed actions of their ruler. Pharaoh is an instrument of violence and destruction, an enemy of God who works against the flourishing of human community. And in the end, God takes action to utterly destroy him in order to rescue God's people from tyranny. But from the beginning, this story has bothered people of faith who have wondered about this brutal act of God. In the Talmud, which is the earliest Jewish commentary on scripture, there is a story about the angels in heaven celebrating when the firstborn of Egypt die. And God rebukes them, saying that they are also people God has created, and they should not celebrate the suffering of any person. Also during the Seder meal, which is the ritual Passover meal that Jewish people have practiced for centuries, when the part of the story comes where the plagues are read, each participant takes a drop of wine from their wine glass for each plague. It is a reminder that the suffering of anyone, even our enemies, diminishes the sweetness of life for all of us. Every year, the Jewish people practice the religious ritual of Passover, clearing their homes of leavened bread, sharing a meal of roast lamb and unleavened bread, and telling the story of God's rescue of the Hebrews from Egypt. But they don't just tell the story. They participate in it by sharing certain foods and certain words. There are foods on the table that represent the bitterness of slavery and the mortar made by the slaves. During the meal, the youngest person there asks four ritual questions. One of them is, "Why do we eat this bread tonight?" And in response, the elders tell again the story of the Exodus, the story of God acting to bring God's people into freedom and into a relationship of covenant and care with God. And it's not just a story of long ago and far away that they are telling. When they answer, they say, as we read from Exodus today, "We were slaves in Egypt, and God brought us into freedom." They not only remember, they recreate the story in their own lives. They become a part of God's freed covenant people once again. In the story, God takes these newly rescued people into the wilderness and teaches them to trust in God for their daily nourishment. God gives Moses the commandments to establish a covenant with the people. The people are free, but they're not free to do just anything they want. There are still expectations. They are freed from a life defined by scarcity, by power and dominion, by violence and wealth for the few at the expense of the many. They are freed for life with God at the center. They are invited into a life of commitment to the well-being of everyone in the community, a life which focuses on the responsibility to one another and the flourishing of everyone, rather than the rights of the individual. The Lord's Supper, as we read in Luke today, is also rooted in this Exodus story of deliverance from bondage. Jesus sat down to share a Passover meal with friends, and it was at that meal of remembrance and recommitment that he said, "Eat this in remembrance of me. Drink this in remembrance of me." As people who gather and confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves, we also participate in this meal, which makes tangible for us God's deliverance from all bondage to sin, death, and evil. Choosing to live as God's people in the world, to follow Jesus in love for our neighbors, isn't easy. It's not something that happens just once and we are done. It's something we have to choose again and again, to stand on the side of generosity, justice, and care for all in the community, to stand for God's rule of mercy, love, justice, and peace. And so God gives us what we need to keep making the choice for love. God gives us ritual, and God gives us community, so that we can gather again week after week to hear the story and remember our place in it. We can hear again and again that we are claimed and saved in our baptism, brought into God's family forever. And we eat the bread and drink the wine each week again and again, not just hearing, but seeing and smelling and tasting the promise of deliverance from sin, death, and the evil that would bind us. Taste and see. Hear the words. We were slaves and God brought us out of slavery into freedom and a life of promise. Here is bread given for you, the very presence of Christ. Here is wine given for you, the promise and sign of forgiveness and grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.